jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Well, somewhere in all my upbringing and my history lessons and all that, I learned that 87 years ago, our fathers brought forth upon this nation and this country a new nation, conceived in liberty and dedicated to the proposition that all men are created equal. And now we're engaged in a great civil war, testing whether that nation or any nation so conceived, so dedicated, can long endure. We met on a great battlefield of that war. We come to dedicate a portion of that field as those, a final resting place for those who here gave their lives that this nation might live. It's altogether fitting and proper that we do so. But in a larger sense, we cannot dedicate, we cannot consecrate, we cannot hallow this ground for the brave men living and dead who struggled here, consecrated far above our poor power to add or detract. Gettysburg Address, Veterans Day, 11/11/2019. I could get into a long diatribe about our veterans and those who here gave their lives that this nation might live. It's altogether fitting and proper that we should honor them, and we do. We honor them. And those of you who watch our show regularly know that I'm concerned that we're spitting on their graves with how little respect and honor we give to those values for which they fought. And I said it over and over and over and over and over again. I could be wrong, but I don't believe any of my dad's generation, the greatest generation, I don't believe any of them died on those battlefields, fought and bled so that a man could marry a man. I don't think not one of them fought and died so we could kill unborn babies. I just kind of the way I feel about it right now, right? So here we are on the November 11th, Veterans Day, and we look around at the sacrifices that they made, and that's the kind of stuff that's going on. That's why I love what I do here, trying to wake up America. Boy, this is going to be a great show. I just know that this is going to be one of those shows. We have Zachary King coming up here with us in a few minutes and we'll give you a chance right now to email somebody, Facebook them, text them, whatever. Somebody doesn't believe in a demonic realm. Somebody doesn't believe that demons are real. Someone doesn't believe in magic, gypsies, tramps, and thieves, whatever it was that Sonny and Cher sang. That stuff is real. I'm going to be joined this morning as we get going here by Zachary King, who was I got to get this right now. He was not just a high priest. He was a high wizard. Anybody can be a high priest. Not anybody can be a high wizard. Zachary King was a high wizard in the satanic, whether it be satanic church, cult, whatever you want to. Because we know this. The Bible tells us that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against evil spirits in high places. And the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. And we don't even believe in them in the American church anymore. We don't even believe in demons and the demonic. We don't even believe in it anymore. And so you're going to get your eyes opened here today. If you just bear with us just a second, we're going to jump in. We're going to roll. I got to get myself behaving here. Get back to where I'm supposed to be. Let me pull this up here real quick. Listen, I got to show this real quick. Jamie Walden is coming this weekend to Newark, Ohio. Saturday all day. What time is it? 10 to 5, I think it is. 10 to 5 on Saturday morning. Then he's going to be at Pastor Mike Spaulding's church on Sunday. But we're doing a good 5-hour get-together. We'd love to have you be part of it. And, Connor, if you can right now, just go to it says Jamie Walden. Go up to the 2721 mark. I'm going to play about another 4 minutes of what you're going to get if you come to our event. Now, listen, bring somebody with you. For heaven's sakes, bring a young Christian. Bring one of those vibrant 25, 26, 27-year-old Christians. Those guys who are in those sissy churches, don't understand the battle and the war that's going on. Bring one of those guys with you so they can hear a real man, a real, real man stand up against the forces of darkness, Jamie Walden. And Jamie did an interview last week, and I think I told you it was with Steve Quayle. And I want you to watch. I want you to watch just about 4 minute segment of this. This event is on, you can find it on our homepage, coachdavelive.com. Go to the events. It's free. Yes, we're going to take a love offering, but other than that, it's free. And it's a great chance for you to get together with like-minded people, fellowship, meet new folks, cross-pollinate, all those things we need to do. Come out from among them and be ye separate and touch not the unclean thing, the Lord says. So, Con, if you pull that up real quick, this is just a little flavor of what you're going to get from Jimmy Walden on Saturday afternoon. Go ahead and pull that, Con. 27 minutes, 21 seconds.
Fear the Lord. So, yes, everything is centered on the Word, out from the Word, and unto the Word. And that's exactly why we are where we're at, because the people, the church, have no regard for the word of the Lord. They surround themselves with great teachers, telling them whatever their itching ears want to hear. They're always learning, but never able to come to the understanding of the truth. Jesus said, Lord, sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth.
I'm going to interrupt you here. There's so many people today. I don't go to church. Once in a while, I try a new church in town, and then I see Hillsong, and I see so many, and I say, oh, I can't keep my mouth shut. I better leave before they ask me. So many lone sheep today. I'm a lone sheep, and we're targets for the enemy. How can we keep ourselves built up in our most holy faith of these last days being a lone sheep?
Well, it's actually happening right now in real time. Malachi 3:16 through 4:3 has become my life verse. The Lord revealed that to me years ago, and I think on it every day. And Malachi 3:16 through 4:3, it says, then those who feared the Lord were found talking with one another. That's what we're doing right here. Right. And that's what people who will listen to this, whenever they do, they're being found with other people who fear the Lord, just talking about him, speaking about the things of the Lord, speaking about the things of his kingdom. So it says, then those who fear the Lord were found speaking with one another, and the Lord heard and the Lord listened. And a scroll of remembrance was written in his presence. Think about how wonderful that is, concerning those who fear the Lord and who honored his name. And then the Lord starts speaking. He says, they will make up my treasured possession. Just as a father honors a son who serves him, so will I honor them. You will again see the distinction between the righteous and the wicked. That day is coming and it will burn like a furnace. It's talking about the day of the Lord. But for those who fear me and honor my name, they, the Son of Righteousness, will rise with healing in its wings, and they will go out like calves released from the stall. I will do these things, declares the Lord. So in answer to your thing, how do we do that? We're doing it in real time. We're doing it right now. Those who fear the Lord are being found talking with another. We're vexed in our righteous spirits by what we see and hear day and night. We're vexed by the unrighteousness and the lawlessness. We're vexed by the apostasy of the church and the great falling away. We're pained by it. There's a righteous indignation and a righteous anger. There's also a longing and a heart filled with love and compassion that people would wake up and come out of it. Come out from her, my people. Don't touch it anymore. Have nothing to do with it. So there's a sincere love. There's a righteous indignation.
You can stop right there, man. You guys get to feel. Jamie Walden's going to be here in Newark, Ohio this Saturday. It's free. Say, well, yeah, you might have to spend on a hotel. We can't pick up all the costs for you. But, folks, come. Fellowship. What is this? Is those who fear the Lord are found talking to one another. How about that? Let's get together and talk. It's what we're trying to do here every day at Coach Dave Live. And going to get a chance to get together eyeball to eyeball, face to face on Saturday. Those of you who can't,
Coach? Yes. I'm on the phone. I couldn't get in the other way. But, yeah, absolutely. I want to amen and ditto and everything else that Jamie just said. And I also want to just – I'm not saying that God told me to say this morning, but I really feel that it's very, very possible that he did give me this message for right now, and that is stop trying to keep doing it the old way. The old way has led our country to where it is at right now. If you want to keep our country good and worse, keep trying to do it the old way. That's it.
Yeah, well, Albert Einstein said the definition of one of those smart guys, the definition of ignorance is continuing to do the same thing and expecting a different result. So that's where we're. Come and join us with Jamie. We'd love to have you. Some of you said, Coach, I need a place to stay. Well, get a hold of me. We'll do whatever we can to try to get you guys here. But the devil's real, okay? The devil is real. That is the greatest lie perpetrated on the church. Satan has convinced the church that he's not real, or that he's just a figment of our imagination, or a Halloween caricature, or a guy with a red suit and horns and a tail and a pitchfork. When Ephesians says that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, that we don't understand the depth of the darkness that's going on around us. That when you go to church Sunday after Sunday after Sunday, churches don't even believe in good and evil. I love to ask people, you believe in angels? Well, everybody believes in angels. Say, do you believe in demons? Well, not so much. That's why we're in the mess we're in. We're joined today by Zachary King, and I've admired Zach from a distance. Never really knew him. Never really followed his ministry, but I saw him on Mark Harrington and Created Equal when Mark just released his latest video on abortion and the blood sacrifice and the demonic angle of abortion. And I saw Zachary was in there for maybe a couple, 3 minutes. And I saw this is powerful. And then I went to did a little bit of research on him and saw that he was an old Baptist boy. He was raised an old Baptist boy and then spent a lot of his life, I don't know how much, he'll tell us all that, serving the devil. He became not just a high priest. I made that mistake the other day when I said that he was a high priest. No, he was higher than that, man. He was high, high, high up in there. He wasn't just some local city councilman. He was like governor of the state, or better yet, senator in the Church of Satan. And so we've invited Zach King to come on and join us from, he's out in Wichita, Kansas. And hey, Zach, is the devil real, brother? Is the devil real?
Unfortunately, yes.
Well, Zach, just do a real quick overview, man. Tell us your story real quickly.
Real quickly? All right. I started practicing magic when I was 10 years old. Wanted to know if it was real. So I did 3 magic spells for money. All 3 of them worked. The last one gave me $1,000. I joined a satanic coven at 12. At 13, I was officially a member. At 14, I committed my first assisted abortion. At 18, I graduated high school and left my first coven, which was an OTO coven, and went on to the World Church of Satan. At 21 years old, the devil handpicked me to be his high wizard. I worked for the Illuminati and for the devil for 12 years. I came out at 33. I escaped Satanism. I knew that I would die if I was caught. About 7 years later, a woman came into the store where I was a manager at a jewelry store in the mall and gave me a blessed miraculous medal. I saw Mary and she led me to Jesus, and the rest is history.
So Zach, first of all, dude, how do you get away from those guys? I thought it was kind of like a death wish if you tried to pull back from these satanic covens.
Yeah, when I was plotting my escape, I was thinking that the 3 ways to get out is that you can die from natural causes, you can be murdered, or you can commit suicide. And all 3 of those, I thought I had sold my soul to the devil when I was 13. And I knew that when I died, I was going to burn in hell, and not really wanting to do that. So
knowing that it was real, right, Zach? Believing it was a real place.
Well, you know, when you first get in, you're told lies. You're told that in the end, yes, there will be a great battle. But the devil this time, you know, when he did this the first time, because, you know, you can read in the Bible that the great dragon was thrown out of heaven by Saint Michael, the archangel. So, but this time he's got all of his followers with him. And we will overthrow God and take over heaven. Well, but then the higher you rise through the ranks, the more you find out that your God is a liar. And you're all going to burn in hell in the end. That there's no victory.
Zach, you understand this. You guys are going to wreak hell here on earth. But in the end, you're not going to win in the end. Satanists. Right. Do all Satanists know that, Zach, or just 100?
No.
You know, is it like secret societies? The higher up you go, the more truth you find?
The higher up you go, the more you find out the truth. But by the time you know your version of the full tooth, most people feel it's too late. You know, the reason that we did the things we did was because the devil plays on everybody wants money, everybody wants power, and everybody wants sex. That's pretty much everybody's basic needs, so to speak. So, and those are the things that Satan gives you that God doesn't. So people go after that. But, you know,
it's a strong carnal life, right, Zach? You want everything carnal. You want money.
Exactly.
And so, the seed of the serpent, the devil, drives you to try to get carnal things. Now, Zach, as you're in the midst of this, do you guys think you're doing evil? I mean, do those who are following Satan think Satan is evil, or is it just another way of life that they're going?
There's different modalities at work here, and they're all at work at the same time because the devil is allows you to change the rules up as you go. If you want to believe something and somebody else doesn't want to believe it, that's totally okay. You know, not all of us have to believe the same thing, you know, and that's it. That's his message, basically. You know, he's like 99% truth and 1% lie, you know, and it's that 1% lie that changes the whole message. But most people let that 1% escape them and think, oh, he's telling me the truth. God would have hid this from me. And, you know, so it's.
Does Satanists have a conscience?
On some level, sure. I mean, not everybody. And you know, when I was a Satanist, this carries over into now, I like to make people laugh. I like, if I'm talking to somebody and the opportunity comes up to say something funny, I'll take it. And I did the same thing as a Satanist. I didn't think I was the bad guy. I mean, okay, yeah, I did 146 assisted abortions, but I had to. That was my job. You know, it's like I didn't look at it as the very first one.
Zach, we're going to get into this thing. Let me back up to something. Hey, brother, this is a fast-moving show, okay? Just hang in there with us. People criticize me all the time. They say, quit cutting him off. Let him say. Right? I'm not doing that to be mean, all right? So, Zach, in other words, in the Created Equal film, there was a young girl who said, Hail Satan. You saw the video, right? And yes. She said, those Satanists, they're a lot nicer people than you are. How would you respond to that, Zach? What would make that young girl say that Satanists who are bloodletting and killing babies and making sacrifices, what would make her say to Christians, they're a lot better people than you are? What would be her mindset?
Because they see our God as oppressive. He's the no police. You know, these are the things that I thought back in the day. You know, God is a God of rules. You know, you're not allowed to do this. You're not allowed to do this. You're not allowed to do this. It's like, what am I allowed to do? Well, you're allowed to worship God. It's like, well, what if I don't want to worship God and I want to sin? Well, no, you're not allowed to do that. That's the no police. I'm not allowed to smoke. I'm not allowed to drink. I'm not allowed to do drugs. I'm not allowed to have sex. Well, what else is there? You know, but Satan is saying, here, smoke 3 packs a day.
If it feels good, do it. If it feels good, do it, right?
Yeah, if it feels good, do it.
Hey, so Zach, this is so fascinating. I'm glad we're really honored to have you on here. And we just want to pick your brain. And anybody in the queue that has any questions, you can jump here at any time. Hey, Zach, explain this to me. How and why do Satanists cast spells? Now, wait a minute, Zach. Are all witches Satanists?
No.
And are all Satanists witches?
No. No. And witches are, there's so many different, okay, at the very basic, there are two types of Satanists. There are atheistic and theistic. An atheistic Satanist, now this doesn't really make sense when you think about it, because, you know, Satan was created by God, so how can there be followers of the devil that don't believe in God? How does that work? Atheistic Satanists, which is like the Satanic Temple, they believe in the idea of Satan but not the person of Satan. Mm. They believe in keeping your Judeo-Christian morality off my body, but that's your God doesn't exist. It's just the church created.
They believe in his standards. They just don't believe in him.
Well, the church created God to keep the masses in control, but God doesn't exist. And the devil was created because the church has to have a bad guy. So there has to be a bad guy for the good guy to fight against and have victory over. Mm. But the devil isn't real and God isn't real. So they believe in hedonism pretty much. I'm going to do whatever I want and you just keep your laws to yourself. You know, and I'm going to do whatever I want. Do what thou wilt within the whole of the law. So I can do anything I want as long as I'm not hurting somebody else or myself. And even hurting myself is, you know, a subjective term anyway.
Sort of like our government, huh, Zach? Sort of like our government. They make laws that you just do whatever you want to, supposedly not that it doesn't hurt anybody else. Let me move quickly with you, Zach. When did you first come in contact with your first demon? When you really knew that you had connected with something?
Probably at 12 or 13. You know, I did my first magic spell at 10 and, you know, trying to see if is this a real thing. And for those that haven't heard my story, I did a magic spell for money and the next day found a can of tennis balls with a $5 bill. The next weekend, I did another magic spell for money and I found a $10 bill on the side of the road. And I'm still thinking, you know, I don't know if this is real or not. So I did another spell for money, but I had been doing the Bloody Mary chant in the bathroom at school. And so I did that at my house. I did my spell for money. I did the Bloody Mary chant in the middle of it. And when the demon appeared, and I'm not sure that it's a demon at this point, we were taught that it's the spirit of a burn victim. I made sure it knew I was doing a spell for money. And the next day I went out and I found what looked like Monopoly money rolled up tight in rubber bands. And later that night, I'm unraveling everything. And it looked like Monopoly money because I'd never seen a $100 bill. And it turned out it was 10 $100 bills. So I knew for a fact, magic is working. This is a real thing. All my friends, my parents, and my Baptist preacher told me magic was fake. You know, this wasn't anything that was real. Now, remember that there's about 33 verses in the Bible that tell you not to do magical things. Why would God tell you not to do something if it was impossible to do it? You know, if you couldn't lie, thou shalt not lie wouldn't be in the Ten Commandments. But, you know, I don't know. I didn't read all these verses. And, you know, so I'm figuring out that magic is real. So I'm practicing as real a magic as I can do at 13 years old. And I've seen things levitate in a room where there's me in the room, you know, or there's me and one other person. And a book I'm reading, I need it saved on a certain page. I don't have a bookmark. I don't want to fold the page over and save the book because that does damage to the book. And my friend in the room is going out of the room with me. And I just stated in the air, hold my place. And I stood up and the book levitated. And I walked out. And when I came back, like 3 hours later, it was still on that page and the book was still in the air.
Zach, so Zach, how do you cast a spell, and what does that even mean? When you cast a spell, Zach, are you commanding demons? What goes on there?
In spell casting, and as the it depends on, I guess, what type of magic you're doing. There's different rules for different types of magic. And there are things as simple as the evil eye, you know, where you look at somebody with a certain look and think of a bad thought about them. You know, and then there's curses and hexes and just regular spells. And most things, there's rules. I mean, you have to write something down on a parchment. You have to have a knife with you. You have to have a skull. You have to have different colored candles. You know, you write the intention of what you're doing, sometimes exact wording. If you're doing a curse on somebody, sometimes you need a lock of their hair or some of their clothes or something like that. But the purist sees all of these things that you have to have. As the high wizard, you're taught classes and you're taught that you don't need all these rules that everybody thinks you have to have. The devil doesn't play like that. He plays pretty loose and free with his rules. You know, you don't have all these ingredients, not a problem. You can think your things. You can put things in the, I mean, you've got a candy bar instead of a knife. Great, we'll use that. You know, it's like you have a piece of notebook paper instead of actual parchment. Yeah, that's fine. Use that. You know, so you don't have a quill.
How does that work, Zach? How does casting a spell, if you were to cast a spell or put a hex on somebody, what exactly happens there?
Well, the reality of what you're doing, at the very base, the reality of what you're doing is that you're praying to Satan to attach a demon to someone. So when I was cursing someone, I would think that I need all these ingredients and an altar, and I need to set up my altar, and it has to be just perfect with everything positioned on it. And then I have a lot of things I have to say, and each step requires me to do something. I'm going to say something, light a candle. I'm going to say something else, point a knife. I'm going to say something else, light another candle. I'm going to say something else. I'm going to change direction, point my knife. And each one of these steps, and this takes a while to do. The more complex the spell, the more complex the ritual. But the reality is that I don't have to do any of that. I'm praying to the devil to attach a demon to someone. Now, in a hex, and hexes are done different ways, there's hexes that are just like this, but it's more steps. A hex is more complex. But in my satanic coven, doing a hex meant that you had to abort a baby to go with it. And if you aborted the baby, you were almost guaranteed success in whatever you were trying to hex.
So Zach, how do I block a hex?
Well,
especially if I don't even know it's been someone's cast one on me, right?
Yeah, pretty much do. You gotta get into a state which is in union with God, and you've gotta stay there. Because here's the difference in a curse and a hex. In a curse, let's say a very basic curse. In a curse, I'm cursing you that your wife will lose her next three babies in a row. Now, or the next baby. So in that, the demon comes to you, sees that you're not in a state of grace, and attaches himself to your wife, and she loses the baby. Now, in a tri-curse, and in a tri-curse, that would be like, let's say I'm going to curse you in 3 months, but I'm also going to curse you 9 months later, and I'm going to curse you 12 months after that. Mm-hmm. So three different times, the demon's going to come to you, see that you're in a state of grace and leave you alone, or come to you and see that you're not in a state of grace and do whatever it is I'm asking.
Meaning I've done something to open a door, sin or whatever it is. I'm not in a state of grace. The devil, the demon can get in there then.
Right, right. So, but let's say that the demon comes to you all three times, and all three times you're in a state of grace. Well, the demon comes to you, you're in a state of grace. He leaves. He comes back, you're still in a state of grace. He leaves. He comes back, you're still in a state of grace. So he leaves. My curse didn't work. But in a hex, and you're, like I said, you're doing an abortion for this. The demon comes to you, you're in a state of grace. You can't be in a state of grace forever. Demon, just wait. Let's say it's 30 years from now, you're suddenly not in a state of grace. The demon attaches to you and you're hooked with the curse. Now, getting back in the state of grace doesn't always guarantee that the curse ends. Usually, there's only, as far as I know, there's only one curse that works that way. In a line of sight curse, which is the witch looks at you, it's usually a very basic witch that'll do this, or young witches, you know, like kids will do this. They have to watch you the whole time while they're putting the curse on you. If you're not in a state of grace when they put the curse on you, it attaches. But once you've confessed and you're back in a state of grace, the curse breaks. It's the only curse that works that way.
So tell me again, Zach. I understand what a curse is. What's a hex? What's the difference in the two?
More complexity, generally an abortion to go with it. But there are satanic covens that do hexes that don't do abortions.
So it's Brad. So Zachary, that's why, as the video showed, that's why I could never figure out why all these lesbians and all these God haters were at the abortion clinic. And it's because that innocent blood is required for power right. for the hex. Is that right, Zach?
That is correct. Now, every night between midnight and 3 a.m., midnight is the witching hour, 3 a.m. is the devil's hour. Between in that three-hour time period, there's an extended black mass in every time zone around the world. And there's people that do dedication ceremonies of every abortion that took place that day. And all that blood sacrifice is offered to the devil.
My goodness. So when we say that abortion is the blood spigot, that's an illustration I use, Zach. Until we end abortion in America and shut off that spigot of blood, we are feeding this demonic realm. And it's showing up in homosexuality and broken marriages and financial problems. And it's much of it being fed by the blood sacrifice at the abortion clinics. Yes?
Yes. Yes. I have a friend that describes it as, abortion is the fuel that keeps Satan's machine going.
Oh, my goodness. Okay, I'm going to shut up a minute. I'm going to open the door, and we'll talk more about abortion. I know there's guys out there got a lot of questions. Somebody come on in.
Yes. Is the rise in abortion, especially from 1973 on, is that an indicator of the increase of satanic worship since 1973?
Great question, Larry. Because we're having more abortions, Zach, does that mean that there's more demonic activity taking place?
Well, you know, it's clear that we're in the end times, and that there's no question that that's going on. But we still have things that were acceptable 2,000 years ago that are not acceptable now. You know, like open pedophilia in the streets. We still get mad at pedophilia now. I think when those things are available, when those things happen, like in France in 2014, I believe, they voted to legalize pedophilia. It failed, but it made it for people to vote.
Zach, is that demonic? By that, I mean this. Are hexes and curses being placed on elected officials and judges to where they can't even think straight, that they pass these obviously saying that a man is a woman, transgenderism? How is the demonic realm impacting those people who make those decisions?
I think that people unwittingly a lot of times, and sometimes on purpose, do things to open those doors. I mean, all you got to do is pick up a tarot deck in a store, and suddenly you've let the demonic world know you're interested in things like that. Play with a Ouija board, go to a psychic, you know, so many new age things, angel cards, you know, so many things that open yourself up. But, you know, was it 2016 or 2017? Witches started calling for the open cursing of Donald Trump.
Right. And they did one last month on Halloween.
Right. Right. And, you know, that's now on one of my interviews a year or so ago, they asked me about the Wiccans placing those curses. And it's not Wiccans doing those curses, because in that curse, in the poster template, it says to call upon your demonic forces to curse Donald Trump. And Wiccans don't believe in demons. They don't believe in heaven or hell or God or Satan or any of those things. Now, just because you don't believe in it doesn't mean it's not real and he doesn't believe in you, but Amen. They don't believe in him. So gotcha. It wouldn't be Wiccans trying to curse. If Wiccans were trying to put a curse on Donald Trump, it would be that he opens his eyes or has clarity or makes good decisions, they wouldn't be cursing him.
Okay, so help me again, Zach. What's the difference then between a Wiccan and a Satanist?
A Wiccan believes that they have the hidden knowledge it takes to tap into the consciousness that surrounds the planet Now, doesn't this sound like a big load of BS? But for all the people that have died, their spirits encompass the world. So you're tapping in to the hidden knowledge that no one else has access to. And sometimes you find an evil spirit. Sometimes you find a good spirit. And you're trying to send happy feelings to somebody or tap into the hidden magic that is around the planet, because everything is alive. Everything has a spirit.
So a Wiccan is not necessarily trying to promote evil.
Correct. Correct. But they are by default, because God doesn't practice magic.
Right, right. Whereas the Satanist's goal is destruction.
That is correct. Or whatever they want. And they know that all satanic power comes from the devil. So you should just go to the source. You know, why would you worship a tree? Why would you pray to a rock? Pray to the devil and get what you want. Now, they also understand sacrifice. There's a blood sacrifice involved. So if I have to sacrifice a dog or a cat, well, that's pretty innocent. But what would be more innocent than that? Well, a person, that would be innocent. Or you could kill a child. Well, that's pretty innocent too. But if I killed a baby in the womb, that's the most innocent of all. And that baby in the womb has no rights. So I can kill as many as I want to and not go to jail. It's not illegal.
Unbelievable.
Hey, back to Coach's question about the influence of Satan in government, as our government officials under hexes or spells or something. Are Satanists actively getting in positions of power in government?
Yeah, but that's been the case for, I don't know, forever. maybe not forever, but, you know, a long time. That's nothing new.
Zach, if I understand this properly, then, if you were to cast a spell upon me, a hex, a curse, whatever it would be, the only way that that curse can have any impact on me is if I have opened myself up through some type of, whether it be behavior, some object in my home, something like that, that the devil, the demons cannot just come and pick on whoever they want to. You have to open
yourself. That is true. You have to open yourself up. Also, the devil's got to go to God to get permission. He can't just willy-nilly attack everybody that he wants.
Is there a scripture for that?
I would imagine there is.
Well,
you should have asked me when I was Baptist, because I was really good with scripture then.
But we know this, that they had to go. The devil had to go to God to be able to go get Job. We know that. So
that is correct.
No. Coach, the devil didn't go to God. God pointed Job out to the devil.
All right.
There's also that verse in 2 Timothy 2:26 where it says the unbelievers are already slaves doing the will of Satan, and they have to be granted repentance by God, grace, to come out from Satan's control. That's the unbelievers. Even believers, it says in Ephesians 6, have to resist the devil or he won't flee. So, we have to, consider these things and see how Satan works. But
Zach, what would you say about generational curses?
They're real. They exist. And, you know, there's two different trains of thought. There's those people need a deliverance. The difference in deliverance and exorcism. In exorcism, you have an exorcist ordained by the bishop to be the chosen exorcist of a diocese. An exorcist has the power to command the demon in the name of Christ to leave this person. In a deliverance, the person doing the deliverance or the priest doing the deliverance asks God through his love and mercy to free this person from whatever this curse is. Now, I know a person that some people need a deliverance and an exorcism. I know a person that is a direct descendant of Aleister Crowley. He got possessed when he was 7 years old, and he has the family curse because he has the Crowley name. He's like the fourth generation down from Aleister. So he's possessed, and he has a family curse. So he needs the deliverance and the exorcism. The issue is that when he finally got approved for the exorcism, they didn't do anything to lift the curse. You know, he has a bloodline curse and a generational curse. So, and he has children. So the curse is passed along to his two sons as well. And he needs the deliverance to free them from the family name curse. And he needs exorcism because he's possessed.
So Zach, this is fascinating. This is unbelievably fascinating because, you know, most churches, most Christians don't even believe in the demonic anymore. Do you believe, can the demonic realm empower evil? In other words, could Hillary Clinton be empowered by the devil, Zach? Could outside influences influence her?
Well, there's, I think it was in 2016, President Trump, before he was president, mentioned that she worked for the Illuminati.
Right.
And, you know, it came out on WikiLeaks that one of her bodyguards used to take her to monthly satanic coven meetings out in Los Angeles. That's a coven called the Cult. Their name is the Cult. And Hillary isn't the only big name to that. And I hear that is in an underground, it's in a room that's under a Baptist church. I don't think the Baptist church knows that that's what the meeting is for, but they rent the hall out to these people. And it's, like I said, I was told that at one of those meetings, other people that were there were Axl Rose and Anthony Kiedis.
So Zach, does Hillary, let's say someone in high power, okay, pick somebody else. Let's pick Barack Obama. Is there such a thing as demonic protection?
Yes, absolutely.
Explain that, Zach.
You know, if you're moving the devil's agenda forward, which is what he wants, you know, he wants to bring about this epic battle. Out of I don't know why, because he knows where he's going in the end, but you know, he wants to bring everybody with him that he can. If you're moving the devil's agenda forward, then he wants you to have the protection you need to do his job, to do his bidding. I mean, we truly are in a battle, and it's spiritual warfare, you know. And my example that spiritual warfare is real is that I have a book called Abortion is a Satanic Sacrifice. My book has shut down 39 abortion clinics around the world. Now, I may have shut down more, but these are the ones I've been told about. If my methods did not work, then I wouldn't have shut down 39 abortion clinics. And my methods are prayer and fasting, a Eucharistic procession, having a mass or an exorcism done in front of the abortion clinic.
Mm.
If these methods, if abortion could be defeated physically, this year we sent 1 million people to march at March for Life in January in Washington, D.C. Previous years, we sent 600,000 people. Now, there's a media blackout in Washington during that time, so no one knows that there's 600,000 extra people at the nation's capital. But every year we're sending 600,000 people, and every year we create new laws. And I say it is Einstein that gave the definition of insanity, was doing the same thing over and over again, expecting a different result. So every year we send 600,000 people and we write new laws. And then what happens? Well, for the next 365 days, abortion is still legal. So what do we do to fight it? We send 600,000 people to march and we write new laws. And then because that didn't work worth a damn, we send 600,000 people to march and we write new laws. And because it worked so well last year, we send 600,000 people to march and we write new laws.
Amen.
You know, it's like, oh, it worked great. Let's send another 600,000 people to march and write new laws. And it's like, excuse me. It's been legal since 1973. Maybe we might want to rethink our strategy, try something else. You're right. let's send 600,000 people to march and write new laws. And it's like, why don't you try these methods instead? Mm-hmm. You know, at one time when 40 Days for Life started, they decided we're going to pray and fast for 40 days and we're going to see what happens there. Well, 9 years later, that abortion clinic shut down. Well, what's the message there? That if you pray and fast, the abortion clinic will shut down. Well, prayer and fasting, that's spiritual warfare. Well, how long did it take? It took 9 years. Well, what's 9 times 40? That's 360. How many days are in a year? 365. Do you think maybe God's message was, if you'd have done it for 1 year, I'd have shut it down? Because that seems like the message to me. That seems like if you hadn't stopped praying and fasting, because we chose to do it in 9 years, God's timeline was 1 year.
Wow. I'm going to open the door. Can I want to come in?
Exactly. Well, one thing I did notice, as you said as you were going along, is that nightly, every night, there are scheduled, organized activities of the satanic influence going on. And they're coordinated too, I would guess, are they?
Yes. Yeah, God, you know, set down rules, and the devil can't create anything. So he kind of follows God's rules in certain things. Organization is one of them. The devil is very organized. But, you know, things you have to remember is that God is wealthy. And I know it seems like Satan has unlimited money, but all the money is created by God. Mm-hmm. Satan is rich. God is wealthy.
Well, Satan stole all his.
Well, right? Satan is, for the most part, unified for now. Now, is he going to divide against himself later? But see, the church is not unified. It is not operating in unity.
I think none of us do. Even people within the same church have different beliefs.
Yes, that's right. That's right.
Well, different beliefs about certain things matter not. That's according to the Holy Spirit told Paul to write. Let each man be convinced in his own mind about what he eats or what day he does something. But there are some beliefs that we have to be unified in.
There's dogma of the church that doesn't change. You know, it's like Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve. There's certain things that cannot change because they came from the mouth of God. You know, and then there's rules that can change because they were the rules of man to begin with, and we've altered what we think about those things along the way.
There you go. Okay, now hang on there, Zach. Come on, there's somebody out there who wants to ask that tough question that they've been wondering. Now's your time to do it. Ask this former wizard, high wizard. This guy was sitting at the top. Ask him if you have a question about anything. Here's your time. Come on in.
Hey Zach. When abortion's turned over and it's in the let's illegal again, will that diffuse a lot of the power of the Satanists?
It will, because, you know, it's sort of like abortion is the air in the balloon. And, you know, we keep right now, we're pumping the air up and the balloon is just gigantic. And the bigger the balloon gets, the more you can lift with it. Mm. But then suddenly it starts to deflate. Eventually, if that balloon was empty, it wouldn't be floating at all. You know, and Satanists, if you don't have, you know, he's also the gasoline in the fire. I mean, your fire will eventually snuff out.
Is it?
Yeah, eventually the devil does lose.
Is it because they believe the life is in the blood? The Old Testament law is the life is in the blood. Do they acknowledge that?
Yes.
Okay.
So do they sacrifice other, besides unborns, do they sacrifice children in their satanic rituals?
Some do. And some still use animals because in some places that's legal. Or, you know, if it is illegal, it's like a parking ticket.
So Zach, explain to us, if you can. You said you did, I believe, 142 abortions. You were part of 142 abortions, child sacrifice, ritual killings. Explain that process, Zach.
It's 146, so you were close. Most of them are late-term abortions. Do your viewers want to hear how a late-term abortion is done? Because it's pretty horrific. I can describe one.
What? I think we know what it is, so go ahead on why you would be part of that. Is there a doctor doing it, Zach?
Yes.
I mean, so you're in a Planned Parenthood, you're in some type of an abortion clinic with a doctor who's performing this, right?
Right. There's usually between 10 and 13 people. We have an altar set up, and we have it set up to do our ritual. Then we also have, I'm there dressed as the High Wizard. If you want to know what a high wizard looks like, go to the artist Pink. She has a song and the videos on YouTube, Like a Pill. And she has a high wizard that appears in her video four times. By the third and fourth time, he's in the middle of doing a ritualistic spell of some kind. So that would be that video came out after I had stopped being a high wizard, but that's the look. The 13 people are in the room at the altar. There's an abortion doctor and a nurse. When the abortion attempt occurs, sometimes there's a failed abortion. And at that, everything comes to a halt. A nurse comes up, takes care of the baby. A social worker will come in and they'll adopt the baby out. And it instantly gets adopted. And not usually by a Satanist, it's by somebody that wants the baby. So it usually goes to a good home at that point. I had three failed abortions in all my attempts, 146 that were successful. But the abortion doctor, my job as the magic practitioner is to get blood on my hands. It could be the woman's blood or the baby's blood. It doesn't matter. I just need blood on my hands. And then I continue with the ritual and we do the spell. The doctor and the nurse are over there doing the abortion.
So Zach, is this going on in I hate to use the term Planned Parenthood. Is this going on in abortion clinics all across America, Zach?
It's all across the world. You know, there is usually a Satanist at almost every abortion clinic.
When are they doing them, Zach? Are they doing them at night?
Most abortions like that, most satanic sacrifices happen after hours, but you don't always have that option. So sometimes you have to be there during the day. When there during the day, yes.
I'm sorry, my mind's just gone a million miles an hour. And if I understand it right, Zach, there are women who are called breeders who their job is to get pregnant over and over and over to sacrifice the babies. Is that true?
That is correct. A lot of times if you Google search breeders, there's videos that will come up on YouTube. I assume they're still there. And it's women that will talk about being breeders, that their job was to have multiple abortions. And what this does for them is move their status up within the satanic coven. You know, you can move up through time because, you know, if you've been in a coven for 20 years, obviously, you have a position of status because you've been there for 20 years. But what if you want to have that position, but you want it now? I don't want to wait 20 years for that. Well, instead of waiting 20 years, why don't you have three abortions? You could do that in 27 months or less. If you're doing late term abortions, yeah, it'll take that long. But if you're not, you know, you're just doing an abortion. Get pregnant, have an abortion. Get pregnant, have an abortion. Get pregnant, have an abortion.
We got 5 minutes left here. We're going to have you back on. What would you, in the last 5 minutes here, Zach, what would you want believers to know about the demonic realm, whether it be black magic, whether it be Satanists? What do we as believers most need to know?
Okay, well, that's only 5 minutes. Okay. If you don't do something dumb to open the door, the devil can't get to you. Wow. You got to think of the devil as a barking dog on a leash. if you don't get within the length of that leash, he can't tear you up. You don't do something dumb. You know, you don't play with a tarot deck. You don't play with a Ouija board. You know, you don't, but you know, there's other stuff than that. You know, if you enter New Age religion on Google, it can bring up thousands of things. You know, you can't do these things. You cannot open the door. And yes, yoga is a New Age practice. You cannot do it. You know, yoga masters will tell you, you can't practice the religion without doing the exercise.
What about internet, videos, YouTube videos, TV shows, music?
Anything that would tempt you to sin is a bad thing. You know, it's like drinking may or may not be a sin. Getting drunk is a sin. Doing something to excess is a sin. Having sex outside of marriage is a sin. But not just sexual intercourse, sexual things. There's other things you can do in that realm. Looking at porn, pornography is the biggest addiction in the world right now. You know, putting yourself, opening yourself up for demonic things is a bad thing. But not opening yourself up is so easy. You see a sin, you walk the other way. What's so hard about that?
Wow, wow.
Also, you cannot sell what you do not own. I believed I had sold my soul to the devil when I was 13 years old. I cannot sell it. God died for you. Jesus paid the ultimate price for your soul. If you think you sold your soul, you did not. All you have to do is give your will back to God, and you're back with God. You can't sell something. You know, my friend has a car. I cannot legally sell you my friend's car because it's not mine. It doesn't belong to me. That's the same reason you can't sell your soul. If you think you have done something and you feel spiritually attacked, you feel oppressed, you think you have a curse, my ministry can help you with that. Go to allsaintsministry.org. All my contact information is there. I will help you as best as I can.
Zach, real quickly, man. Hey, Zach, how about next Monday we do this again?
Okay.
Okay, now listen, Zach. Oppression. What is simple oppression?
Oppression is very simply the devil trying to block you from doing something godly. But it usually happens over a period of time. It's not just a one-time thing. It's just you suddenly realize you didn't just have a bad hair day. You had a bad hair decade.
Mm. So the enemy can spells and hexes cause that oppression, Zach?
It can, but you could have caused your own oppression. You know, you could have opened up a doorway and stepped through it and may not have even realized it.
Would it be safe to say when the word says we're encompassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, is it true, Zach, that in this world that we can't see, there are demons out there waiting for an opportunity to enter?
There are. There's a saint, I think it was Padre Pio, that said that if we could see with spiritual eyes, there's enough demons to block out the sun.
Wow.
You know, and it says in the Bible that one third fell. I mean, how many angels are there? You know, if you figure there was one angel for every person that's ever lived, well, I've heard the estimate on that is like 50 billion.
Wow.
One third fell. That'd be 17 billion.
Oh, my. Seeing we are encompassed about with so great a cloud of witness, let us run with patience the race that is set before with Christ as the author and the finisher of our faith. Zach, this has been a fascinating hour. We're going to do it again next Monday. We'll get the word out so more people get in and get our audience a little bit more bold so they can sit down and ask you some questions. Well, Zach, we know so little about the demonic realm. We have such a poor understanding of it. It's not even spoken of in our churches anymore. And we're going to dig in and find out more about it. Thanks for getting up early. Hey, Zach, when we go off the
air, thanks for having me.
You just sit right there because some of the folks are still going to share with you a little bit. God bless you, folks. The devil's real. Demons are real. We'll see you tomorrow.